Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Sweet Spot Coaching call. It's our very first call after the end of the official metabolic reset. And we're going to have some talk tonight about what that really means, right? Because not everybody started at the same time. Not everybody had the same amount of weight or change they needed to change in their body. So some people are like, wow, this is great. I'm done. And are going to be doing transition, and others of you are going to probably continue it just a little longer. And we've got a whole module or section of a module on the transition. And I highly recommend it that regardless of whether you watched all the videos from all the other modules, it doesn't matter. Go right to Metabolic Reset, click on transition, and watch the video. Because it's super important to keep in mind that this is a journey, and all of you who've posted have mentioned different changes that you've had. And I'm going to just step in and do a little mindset thing here. I learned this at a seminar a few years ago, and it was a business development seminar. And the person that was teaching, very wise, very successful in his career, and he trains people to be leaders. And what he said was, the unfortunate thing is when people look at the gap, they look at the wrong gap, and then they get discouraged. So when you set a goal, like say you set a goal for this program, whether it was to have a certain amount of energy, drop a few pounds, a certain number of pounds, drop some number of inches, regardless of what it was, when you get to the point where the time elapsed, like you said, okay, by the end of the metabolic reset, I want to have reduced my weight by 15 pounds. When you get to the point where that time has elapsed, if you're to look at where you are, compare it to where you wanted to be, you're going to see a gap and say, oh my, I'm a failure. I didn't make my goal. But I always tell people to make bold goals. Because if you make little easy goals, you don't work as hard. So instead, what if you looked at the gap between where you are now and where you started, right? People have posted, well, I only dropped 15 pounds or 12 pounds or 5 pounds, and I was planning to do a lot more. Let's look at what you've accomplished. There's plenty of time and room for more improvement. And that's the time to evaluate. What are some of the things I could do better? What are some of the things that I didn't have control over that created this stress in my life that caused me to not make my goal? And then you set a new goal. Maybe that new goal is just the same goal you set at the start with a different time span. Maybe you push it out a little further. That's totally up to you. But whenever you're looking at where you came from, and where you are now, you're going to feel much, much different than if you look at where you are compared to maybe the destination you didn't quite reach. So I want to applaud everybody, whether you did the 30-day metabolic reset, whether you're just getting into things and trying it out, or whether you completed it partially. I want to give you an A for effort, an A for your goals and determination. And here's the thing. When you focus on the gap between where you are and your goal, every day, several times a day, it can get discouraging. And what that does is gets you further away from the goal. So I created a little video, and Marsha was gracious enough to allow me to use her charts that she kept, which she put into a beautiful program called Chronometer, and you can download it. There's a free version and there's the gold version. She's used the gold version. I have no idea what the difference is, but some of the features that are on the sheets that I am showing you may not be in the official, the one that's free, but it's still a great tool. And I think she said it was like $49 to purchase it or for the year or something like that. So well worth it. But the beauty of it is in looking at her charts where she made some notes, as soon as her sugar went up a little bit higher than she thought. In fact, one time it was 103. And she didn't expect it to be 103 because all the weeks before it had been maintaining below 100. And the notes that she started making, the stress that she started experiencing because the sugar was going up, was counteracting and could have led to more, more deviation from where she wanted to go. So I say this not to point out Marcia. Marcia is everyone, right? Everyone has that. We all have this desire to be our best and desire to reach our goals. We need to look at it in the sense of congratulating ourselves for where we came and then looking at it analytically. Okay, what can I do differently to get to where I wanted to go? What got in my way? And guess what? This is not just about the food. So when you look at a chart and you test your blood sugar and your sugar is higher than you thought and you're going, but I just ate a salad with some guacamole on it. Why is it like that? It could be anything that's not related to the food. Inflammation, a cold coming on. In Marcia's case, an infected tooth. It could be that you've been traveling and you haven't exercised. In fact, I posted a link yesterday on the Facebook group to a video interview between Mike Mutzel and Dr. Jody Stanislaw. And Dr. Jody is a type 1 diabetic, been that way since she was 7 years old. Went to medical school, graduated probably in the early 2000s, and decided to specialize in working with type 1 diabetics. And some of the observations that she's made based on her own body and how it responds to things and how it affects the amount of insulin she needs, I think are very, very key to some of the things that are happening with us. So, for example, she said that first of all, we know that exercise increases insulin sensitivity. And it stays improved for about 48 hours. So you need to be continuously exercising. So she said if she goes more than two days between, so if she exercises less frequently than every other day on that third day, or that second day that she didn't exercise in a row, she has to use more insulin. So what does that tell us about how our bodies, who are not type 1 diabetic, and maybe a few of you are, it says that there's less insulin sensitivity, so she needed more insulin. Well, she injects all her insulin because her pancreas is shut down. We make the insulin. So what that says is if you go 2 days without exercise, on that third day, on that second day, actually, so it's exercise, day one, day two. On that day two, if you don't exercise, then you're going to start to lose that insulin sensitivity. And the longer it goes, the less sensitive the cells become. And what that means is that the body's going to have to make more insulin in response to the same food load. And what do we know about insulin? It's a fat storage hormone. So when we make more insulin or people inject more insulin, they gain weight. So it could be that there's a shift in exercise. You traveled. I asked, I think it was Claudia who posted, yeah. And I said, what's changed? I haven't exercised in 7 days and I had a lot of stress. Those two things can just shoot your sugars right up because it decreases your insulin sensitivity. So these are all the things that get in the way. It's not just about, but I've been eating lettuce and avocado for the last month and suddenly it raised my sugar. Yeah, what's the situation under which it did? Remember, there's 5 pillars, and within those pillars, there's some sub-pillars too. There's the stress pillar, and in there we have electromagnetic stress as well as mental and emotional stress. Right? We have environmental stress of exposure to pesticides. So you're traveling. Let's just say you're traveling. You're eating food that's not organically grown because it's all you can eat. You're not eating on your regular schedule because you're, you know, dealing with other people and travel and flights and all that. You're in an EMF, much higher EMF environment, especially if you're flying. your body gets stressed and suddenly your sugar goes up. It's normal. So I suggested to Marsha and to others, once you get into the metabolic reset, unless you are adding new foods, you don't have to check all day long because it could drive you nuts. Sure, you could check every 2 or 3 days. You can do a spot check just to make sure because you want to see, like, you can certainly do your fasting glucose. And if something goes awry and it looks different than what you expected, you can say, I wonder what that is all about. I'm curious to find out how is my body reacting here. Wonder and curiosity rather than frustration and blame and anger towards yourself. And thinking that your body betrayed you, the program betrayed you, life betrayed you. No, it's just the way it goes, right? The body is all these adaptation mechanisms. And nobody can be perfect. Nobody can be perfect. I had that happen to me where I'll just go like, why is it 113? It doesn't make sense that it's 113. You know, well, something. Maybe I was stressed about something. Maybe I was nervous. Maybe somebody called me. You know, whatever. Let's just watch it. And let's just see what we could do. So I highly recommend that you watch this video. I posted a link to a private YouTube video on the Facebook group just a few minutes ago. Some of you might have seen it already. And it's going to find a home permanently on the site. But I need to, you know, hand that to my team to figure out. What I could do was create the video, edit it a little bit, and upload it to YouTube. Okay? So it's a lot of good information. And one of the things I did notice, Marsha and others, is that there weren't enough greens. You need to be eating like 4 cups of greens at every meal, at least. Marsha, who was in a program called Bright Line Eating, some of you others are, you know, part of that was you had to eat a certain amount of food every day, right? They gave you like breakfast, you eat this many servings of this and this many. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that it was 12 cups of vegetables a day. Let's make sure you're getting your 12 cups of vegetables a day, especially if you're eating fruit. And there was another mistake, I'll just call it mistake, but, you know, it's nothing critical, but that Marsha made is that combining fruit with fat. You really don't want to combine sugar and fat. When you're eating your fruit, it should be with greens, whether it's a green smoothie, a big green romaine salad, or something along those lines. The greens will slow down the absorption of the sugar. Because what happens with the fat will slow down the absorption of the sugar, but the sugar is still there, and studies have shown that when you combine sugar and fat, you make your insulin receptors less sensitive. Okay, you clog them, and then the sugar can't get in. So don't eat sugar and fat together. Simple, simple, simple. Okay? So watch the video. I gave a lot of good advice, and there's so much more to learn. So if anybody else has questions about their own, whether you have a roadblock, whether you've come to a point where, like, you've been making progress and it stalls, whatever your problem might be, ask. Okay, ask. So a couple of things, too, that I think I wanted to mention today is sometimes when you get stuck, it's like, let's switch it up. When the body gets used to a certain thing, it doesn't change as well. Ever notice that if you start a weight loss program or any kind of new program, you usually get good results at the beginning and then it tapers. That's the time to change it up. So Marsha was periodically doing intermittent fasting where she'd skip breakfast and eat lunch and dinner. In our module 5, we talk about intermittent fasting. It works beautifully for some people. It doesn't work for others. So I suggested, well, try instead of doing intermittent fasting where you skip breakfast and then eat lunch and dinner, try having breakfast and lunch and skipping dinner. See how that goes, right? Or have 2 meals spaced, you know, apart. Maybe her body really needs that hour eating protein within an hour of getting up. And there were a few deficiencies that I noticed, and you'll see it when you watch the video, that eating more greens are going to solve. One was a little bit low on protein, a little bit low on the B vitamins, a little bit low on zinc. and iodine was very low. Sea vegetables and more green leafy vegetables and broccoli, good one too. Okay, so watch the video. I really would love that. So first of all, congratulations on where you are right now, wherever that might be. Just if you're here, just if you're listening, you are making the effort to take care of your body. And we are here to support you. It took you decades for some of you, years for others, to get to the point where your body's out of balance the way it is right now. And as we get through, if you're actually doing all the processes we've offered you, you'll get results. But maybe you haven't because you're having difficulty with it. Maybe you can't deal with a lot of raw greens because you have some irritable bowel or you have some Crohn's or something like that. That's fine. Steam them. Steam them and blend them. But get the greens in. And you know what? Also variety. I saw somebody post that they were eating the same greens, like spinach. People tend to do that, spinach every day. You can't do the same ones over and over. Yeah. Sure, if you do a little bit of spinach and a little bit of kale and arugula and you do like five or six of them every day in small amounts, that you can do. But if you're eating, you know, kale smoothies every day, you're going to get a buildup of toxins from the kale. Every food has toxins in there. They basically is there for the plant to protect themselves from predators. So let's have variety. Use the menu guidelines at least. I personally never use menu plans. Some people like menu plans. We created the menu plan because there's a demand and a need from some people for a menu plan, but we also gave you a guideline in the menu planner booklet. Go there. Look at the grab and go. Make some grab and go options. Look at the menu planner for the general idea of what we're having at the different meals and the amounts. And just follow that. The metabolic reset diet, the idea of the fatty acid balance, the magnesium, high vitamin C foods, whole fresh foods, that's not a diet or a reset. That's life. That's a diet for life. Now, do you have to be as strict as you do when you're in the process of resetting those insulin receptors, like taking out all the fruit and taking out various things that, you know, might be raising it? No, those are temporary. People say to me, well, what do you have against fruit? Fruit is a great food. It is a great food. I'm all for you eating as much fruit as you can handle while keeping your blood sugar in balance and keeping your gut in balance, because too much very sweet fruit can aggravate the gut organisms and create imbalances in your microbiome. So I'm all for it. So you should say, go for the 30 days. Watch the transition video. It's short. It's probably a half an hour long. Watch it and then start playing and introducing some things. If you start to introduce other foods, you start to gain weight or your blood sugar goes up or you feel more tired, then you back it off. Okay. Other people have asked now, what about the supplements? And some people come to the end and they don't pay attention and they just stop their supplements. You know, even if you've reached your goal weight and you're feeling great, you don't just cold turkey stop. You wean off. I give you an exact process for weaning off, dropping one of them by 25%, watching it for a few days, seeing how you feel. Dropping that another 25% or dropping another one. But it's a process of allowing your body to adjust. And for some of you, you may have to stay on those supplements forever. I'll tell you, for me, I don't do them that often, but three times a week, I'm taking some kind of Oregon, like Oregon grapes, something with berberine, because I find that that works really well for me. I take magnesium, still take magnesium, and I do that 3-4 times a week. Okay, even though I eat a lot of foods, our soils are depleted, and we just may not have a higher need. So you want to go off and wean very gradually. Okay, so Lynn, I'm going to ask you to come on and see if there's any other things that you've been seeing folks all over your line, seeing folks
posting. When causing significant damage. I just got that. It's like,
Okay, she's talking to somebody else, it sounds like. So Lynn, if you raise your hand when you're ready, I would like to open up your line because I'd like to hear your observations about some of the posts, if you've seen some of the posts that I don't. Here's the interesting thing. When I'm traveling, I have my phone, I'm in the airport, I check, I'm constantly looking at the Facebook group, but I look at what the notifications, you know, notification pops up and says, Marsha posted, Lynn posted, Julia posted, Chris posted, whatever, and I look. Then today I went back in just to try to find an old post because I wanted to resurrect it and find a link. And guess what happened? I did that and there were all these posts in there that I hadn't seen. And even though I had set Facebook to say notify me anytime anybody posts to the group, it wasn't doing that. So if I've missed your post, if I haven't answered or replied, I don't want you to feel bad like, oh, she has favorites. She only answers Marsha or Sandy or whatever. Theirs pop up for me all the time for whatever reason. I don't know why. So, if I've missed your stuff, ask again. And here's what to do is put my name in there. If I've missed your post and you had a question and it didn't get addressed on a call, it didn't get addressed in the group, put Lynn and my name and allow it to, like, if you start to type my name, it should pop up my picture and my name and you just click it. And that will notify me for sure. I always get notified if you put my name in. And that might be why Marsha or Sandy or some of these others I get to see, even though I told Facebook I wanted to see all of them. Okay? So, Lynn, are you there? Can I open your line? Raise your hand if I can open your line. Sounded like she was talking to somebody else. Nope, that's somebody else. All right. I'm going to go ahead, and I'd love to hear success stories, and I'd also love to hear, I want to hear from two or three people talking before we go to questions that were typed in advance, and then we'll flip-flop, okay? So, Andrea from Hawaii, my favorite place. Whoops, wait. There you go. Hi.
Aloha. Can you hear
Aloha.
Me?
Aloha.
Oh, you can hear me, right?
Yeah.
Oh, hi. How was your trip?
It was wonderful. Thank you for asking. It's interesting to be back. I woke up at 2 a.m. and couldn't get back to sleep, so I've been up since 2 a.m. So
you're just major energy, which is so inspiring. It's just incredible. And I appreciate all your posts because my husband and I are probably going to go to Italy in September, and so I'm like, okay, Florence, Bologna, all these wonderful restaurants that you found.
Two restaurants that were outstanding in both those places, absolutely. There were others that were, okay. And then the last day we were there, the one we wanted to go to again, this for the third time, was not open on Sunday, so we looked on the phone. We just basically, Google it on the phone, and we found three others, and we're like, okay, these sounded like, they had vegan, they had salads, they had, sounded good. So we went, and we got a lot of walking in that day, let me tell you, because we can't call these places on, they're Italian, they don't know that. So we walked to each one, and they were all closed.
Oh, God, that's a lot of walking, too.
It was a
that's
lot of
That's all you do
walking.
when you're over there. You do a lot of walking.
Do a lot of walking, yeah. So how I help you today? Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome. I appreciate it. The thing I'm curious about is, I have to admit, I haven't been super consistent with my, 2, 3, 4 hour testing because I'll notice it go down, so I stop, instead of keep on testing it after a time. And just like this last few days, twice I think it happened, I noticed that my 4 hour was lower than my starting. And I noticed in transitions, you're not ready to transition if that happens kind of a thing. So
David, how much lower? Let's talk about that first. Yeah, how much lower?
Well, from maybe 83 to 76 or something like that.
Insignificant.
If it's 10, 15 points, that would be
a bigger. My husband had this happen the other day. He's not as good as I am in traveling and eating. And it was on the plane yesterday. He had a glass of beer and some quinoa crackers. And I'm like, here's the meter. Let's see what it is. So he tested 20 minutes or 30 minutes. His face dropped 144.
Yeah.
He tested it an hour later, less than an hour later. 67.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. That's what I'm looking at, right? When it significantly, I said to him, here's what happened. You had this food and you produced a ton of insulin because your body was trying to get that down. And then you produced so much insulin that it went past. And guess where some of that landed? You see that belly there? A lot of it landed there. And he was like, So, and one time this happened where it didn't go up, or we didn't catch it going up. He had eaten something, gelato or whatever. And I said, hey, test your blood sugar. And about 45 minutes later, his blood sugar had been like, I don't know, 89 before the thing. And it was down in the 60s. That's what I'm looking at, right? Real. And I'm like, what happened was.
160, is that what you said? 160?
No, it went to 60. It did. So we didn't catch a high. We saw the before. He forgot to test it, you know, midway. And about 45 minutes or an hour later, it was in the 60s. That's the kind of drop I'm talking about. So don't worry about it. You're fine. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Now, unless you were feeling really awful, right? The goal is to get it down that low. So it could be that you just ate some really good foods that support insulin receptors, and you did a good job of it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And if mine goes down that. Mine goes down in the 70s after, and sometimes 60s, after 4 to 6 hours. But that's not, it's a gradual drop.
Yeah, mine's pretty much average 80s when I wake up and that kind of thing. And so that was like, I've not really been much in the 70s. So, and then, you know, I had a couple of days where it went all the way up to like 114 or something. And I'm like, what's that all about? You know, so, okay, I'm just worried about nothing is basically
And that brings up a really good point, Andrea, is when you go, it went all the way up to 114. Okay, I gave you the 110. As a goal, I said, fudgy, if occasionally it goes between 110 and 120, I absolutely don't want it to go to 120 or above, because that's the point when we start to see neuropathies and damage. I mean, ideally it stays in the low hundreds or below 100, because, you know, that's the safest, but it's going to go up. We're not perfect, right?
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting because I have this tendency, this is another, you know, one of those things where I have a tendency to not varietize sometimes, you know, my meals. Mm-hmm. And so for this month, I've been pretty consistent with what I've been vegan my whole life. Not really. 24 mm-hmm. years is like a long time.
That's
I've been
fine.
Vegan.
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm into all the junky foods and all that. And I'm seeing shifts and changes because of that, you know. I have my smoothie in the morning, and then I'll have my chia porridge, you know, and I'm trying to varietize the greens because I don't want all the oxalates and stuff. So that changes, but the basic recipe is pretty much the same. And so I'm noticing, you know, I'm not that much of a change, I guess, in my sugars, because I haven't really been shifting around and adding and changing things a lot. You know, I do some of the pâtés, and I have salads, and I steam veggies, and, you know, but I guess I'm doing all right.
I feel like you're doing great. You really does. You know, here's the thing, and I just thought of this as you said this. The worse your diet is from the start, the more rapid and dramatic a change you're going to see.
Okay, true.
Okay?
Yeah.
The more fine-tuned your diet is to start, the more you're going to have to just do those little tweaks that shifted around. So if you've been vegan your whole life, but you were eating, you know, whole grain bread and, you know, whatever, soy ice cream or whatever, then you're going to see that the shifts, those little minor shifts to get the blood sugar balanced, make a difference.
Right.
It's not going
to
be as dramatic as the person that comes in eating hot dogs and M&Ms, and then they stop and start eating greens and nuts instead. Whew. They could see a drastic.
Yeah, well, the biggest difference I noticed at the beginning was I was eating oatmeal every day for breakfast with good stuff in it. I mean, all the stuff that's kind of on the plan, right?
Yeah.
And I would have quinoa, and I would have rice, brown rice. Those were pretty much my grains. But I've noticed that when I was testing at the beginning back in February, that my glucose was higher, and I'm like maybe in the 140s, and I'm like, oh wow, just after having some oatmeal, you know. So that's when somebody mentioned try the chia porridge, and I love it, so that's great.
The other thing, you try those things again, and so if you felt like, you know, if you're pretty consistently keeping your sugars under 110, occasionally to 114, then you're welcome to try those things, but follow the way I laid it out. Because I say, okay, well, you know, do these first, because these are less likely to raise it. The less sweet of the sweets, or, you know what I mean? Or the less starchy of the starches. And then,
right,
you know, go for it and try it. You might try a yam before you try oatmeal, just because it's less likely to cause that. And just see where you can add things in and see how you have to eat it. Right. So before, you might have been sitting down and eating the bowl of oatmeal with all this other stuff on it. Maybe you find that as long as you have it with the green smoothie, or you have, like for me, if I have fruit, if I want to have tropical fruit, and I don't even bother when I'm here in the States because it pales in comparison to Hawaii. But last summer when I was in Hawaii, I didn't want to forego mangoes and pineapple and papaya. That's the stuff that is so good there. So I would have a huge smoothie and bed of greens, that's how I would eat it. And I would figure it out how much of the greens I had to have with my mango. I didn't want to blend my mango into a smoothie because, heck, I'm not going to taste the mango very much. So I wanted to eat the mango. And I figured out how much, and that's what I want you guys to be able to do, is figure out how much of the greens you need to eat with your pineapple and how much pineapple to eat to get the enjoyment, but keep everything steady.
That makes sense. Okay. Yeah. How to do it, how to combine it, how much of each you need.
Yep.
Okay. How much green with. Okay. If I may touch on one other subject before we go on to someone else, I appreciate it. I had talked to you before about constipation, which has been kind of a history with me for my whole life. And I had my gallbladder out in December, and had a kind of problem with the constipation after that. Then I got really good, and I've been doing a lot of exercise and stuff. And then when I started this, every time I tweak something, I get constipated again. So you suggested the digestive bitters.
Right.
Which I got, and I've been using that all the time, and it took about a week, I think, or so, and then I started to have I'm really doing good with my concept, with my movements, yay, and then it kind of got slower again, you know?
Mm.
And so I ordered the Lipo Gold, and I haven't received it yet, but I thought I'd try that before I tried any ox bile.
Yeah.
And it's like, I may have to go there. I may have to swallow veganism.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. We do our best. The point is to be as healthy as possible. But if we've had a part of the body removed, we need to put it back. Like, insulin is not a vegan food, right? To take insulin is from pork, or, you know, but somebody will die if they don't take insulin. Their body's not making it. If you have your thyroid removed, and you're going to have to take thyroid hormones, and you're better generally usually off with something from an animal that more similar. So we have to look at that. And I know, you know, from an ethical standpoint, if your veganism comes from ethics versus health, it's challenging, but we have to also look at your health versus the animal's health, right? And so, you know, are you going to give up your health for an ideal, or, you know, so you try everything you can before that.
And I've noticed that the bile salts, some of them have taurine in it. Is that a good thing to do?
Taurine's good. It's one of the nutrients that helps the body make bile. So yeah,
that's
taurine's
good. Okay.
You may need less of the bile salts if you have taurine in it.
Okay. I do have one other thing I wanted to say. I'm sorry. No, it's about dehydrated food. I never really bought a dehydrator because my body requires a lot of fluid. And I always thought it would create a deficit in my fluid, even if I try to, like, drink and eat dehydrated food. So I don't go there. And if I ever had, like, prunes or apricots prior to this, obviously, I would soak them in water to kind of get them. Yeah, so it's probably best for me to stay away from dehydrated food, right? Or
Yeah. So the reason for including dehydrated food in this program is to help people with the cravings for the good, the stuff, the breads, the crackers.
The good stuff.
Yeah, you know, the good stuff, right? So it's to help that with that, but also for travel. Like for me, the day before I left, it cleaned out my refrigerator and we made dehydrated crackers and stuff. And those lasted me my whole trip. I could just reach for it when, you know, all I got was lettuce and tomato at a restaurant, which happened to
people. Exactly. Yeah. Insalata mista, right? Everywhere in Italy. I don't know if you know, you know, mixed salad.
Mixed salad, right. And sometimes
they don't know what a salad is until
well,
you make a real
salad with lots of veggies.
Yeah.
You don't know what it's going to be because it doesn't always say the ingredients on the menu. And so the first night we ordered the salad and I said, make sure no cheese and no croutons. They didn't know what that word meant. I said bread, you know, so I said those words in Italian. They're great. So they bring out the salad. Well, they forgot about the no cheese, but they also didn't tell me that there was tuna fish on the salad. So, like, cheese and tuna. Okay.
When Harry met Sally. We're Sally.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So we just have to ask for what we need and laugh it off when it doesn't work out. And
hey, 24 years as a vegan, I still go through that in restaurants around the United States, so.
Oh, yeah, all the time. It happens. But that turned out to be corn. Corn kernels. Like, okay. So you have to ask for after that. It's like no tuna, no cheese, no bread, no corn. My list of no's got longer. No meat. Anyway,
right.
It sounds like you're doing well. As far as the constipation, a couple of things. I would look at vagus nerve stimulation. Just do a Google on it. We don't have time to really go into it here. We go into it in our digestive program. But look up vagus nerve stimulation and do some of that because that can help move things along. Make sure you have plenty of water, that you're really well hydrated. And we want to look at the liver, since this has been a problem the whole time, you know, since you were a little kid. Look at and since you had your gallbladder out, there's clearly some pathology was going on in that area. So it would be looking at the liver. Look up an herb called Don Quai.
Okay.
And just read it. And if it feels like comfortable to do, get a tincture, try it out. Because it's actually used for moving things along by stimulating the liver. So sometimes it's not, we think
it stimulates the liver.
It stimulates the bile flow. And
but isn't it without a gallbladder, you're having bile constantly, so it's not so much that? Or
well,
you do it with a meal, so you have more bile. Is that what you're saying?
You could do it with a meal, right? You could do it with a meal, and that might actually be an alternative to bile salts. Mm-hmm. It's worth a try. They use it in Chinese medicine for dry constipation.
Okay.
So constipation is not necessarily a large intestine problem, as we all think, right? Thyroid.
Obviously, it's not. Yeah, I think,
And also brain, low dopamine can cause constipation.
Would that cause the brain fog, too? Because that's why I kind of started on this program, because I've been sort of like, I get spacey and lightheaded, and that's not 100% really improved since I've been on this. So... Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, there's like, what's behind all this? Can I come like to Austin and like, can we do can I become your patient, please? I bet everybody listening is probably going, yeah, me too.
Right. And that's what I don't even have time in my schedule. I don't do that. I do it as part, we'll talk to you about at the end of this, how you can get further support. But yeah, there are ways to do it, and we're going to talk about that. We have, you know, a bunch of coaches I've trained that are available, so I can hook you up with some of those, to help with that. And the whole point is, right, there's all these different parts of the body, and we need to go, and the blood sugar has to be balanced to get anything else balanced. You can't get your female hormones balanced. You can't get your heart balanced. You can't get anything balanced if your blood sugar is out of whack. But that's a starting point, and if you don't get the, like, complete remission of everything from just the blood sugar, but you're getting improvements, then maybe it's looking at the gut, right? Maybe there's some detoxification that can happen. And we'll talk about that. I'm going to schedule a whole nother extra call for us to talk about, okay, where are you now? I'm going to give you all a questionnaire that we use in our programs with people that we're working with over the course of a year, and it's going to help to identify where some of those imbalances might lie so you know what your next step needs to be.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, it's important because it's like, mm-hmm. you know, you get all these questions, and it's like, well, you know, I haven't been doing a progress journal for anybody to see, and so, you know, there's nobody there to help, and, well, it's my fault in that respect, right?
Yeah, because I was just looking at some of the responses that Pamela does, and, oh, my God, she writes, she really supports people well in those progress journals. So, yeah, we offer the support. You take what you can. You do your best. You don't berate yourself for not taking it all. And, you know.
Right. I'm kind of getting organized now. It's like I've done this for more than a month because I think I started a couple weeks before just kind of, you know, eating those things. And then it's like, oh, it's just all this information. Okay, don't worry about it. And so now I'm going, oh, look what's there. Oh, look what's there. You know, and it's like.
There's tons of it.
Yeah,
the program could be a year-long program. Just this program could be a year-long program. And if I had offered a year-long program to get your blood sugar balanced, three quarters of you would not have signed up. You're like, I don't have a year.
Yeah.
But you've got enough content there to keep you busy and to keep you going. To keep you going for a year.
Yeah.
Right? And you have access to the Facebook group for a year. So take advantage of it.
Yeah, and they're wonderful. And I appreciate everybody that's been posting, and it's really great stuff. And the support is really, really great. And I'm going to pack my suitcase with all kinds of wonderful things to eat while I'm over in Europe.
Good. Yeah, do it. I got my list going. I did it like, wait, where are my chia seeds? I didn't bring my hemp seeds. I was a little concerned about the hemp seeds going across country lines because I got stopped once for hemp seeds. So
you did? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I can sell them over there, but I'm going to bring mine too.
Yeah, bring them.
Protein powder, my green powder. And I mean, yeah. I'm going to have one suitcase of food and maybe a little bit to wear, you know.
There you go. That's all you need. All right. Well, I'm going to go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
I appreciate you so much. Take care.
You're welcome. Bye. All right. So, Lynn, howdy doody.
Hey. Hey, you probably caught me. We got a really big, huge storm. And so you probably were talking to me when I was talking to my husband, getting windows shut and stuff.
Oh, yeah, it sounded like you were talking to him.
Yep, that was probably my husband. Yeah, we're not getting snow this time. It is rain.
I'm glad it's not snow anymore. So it is May after all.
Yeah.
Month away from summer. So yeah. I just wanted to find out if there were any particular, before we go and answer all the questions, if there were particular things that, based on the comments you've seen and the people you've spoken to, that you wanted to share for folks as we head out of the metabolic reset and into the next stage.
Well, I just want to reiterate everything you've been saying. I don't think this is something we can say enough. And that's, we're not restarting. You don't ever restart this.
No,
you can't go back. You already learned something. So you're just going forward. You're taking what you've learned so far and you're continuing to go forward. One thing that I have learned is that you need to really ground yourself where you're at. You need to know where your body at, where your breath is before you move forward. So what you were talking about at the beginning of the call with the breathing and the heart math was so important because we get stressed and we don't feel our breath. We're not even aware of our breath. And so when you become aware that you're stressed, the first thing you want to do is check in with where is my breath? Where am I holding it? And just be aware of, just be aware. That's just a key thing, is to be aware.
Yep.
And we're not going away. We will be here. The Facebook group will still be there. I love seeing how everybody supports each other. And it's going to keep going. So just keep going. That's all I got to say.
That's what I agree. And I'm glad you brought that up because I meant to say that about people say, oh, I have to restart the reset. No, you don't restart the reset. You just keep going with the reset. The reset was intended that not that you're going to be perfect, but like, oh, you're going to find things out. Oh, wow. Look, when I ate pineapple before my, well, let's not use pineapple. Let's use blueberries. I ate blueberries before the reset and they didn't raise my sugar when I ate them with my smoothie. And this afternoon I ate the blueberries without the smoothie. I just had them and it raised my sugar. Ah, now I know I need to eat it with the smoothie. And you just, you're going to continue. If you read the way the transition is laid out, you're just going to continue to modify and add and subtract and get in touch with you, who you are and how you have to eat. I've been pretty much following the reset for 7 years. Now, periodically, I'm on vacation. I tried some cashew gelato that had dates in it. And yeah, it made my sugar go up, but it only went up to like 114. Yay! Right? That's huge progress.
Yeah.
I actually ate a fig. We were at this little market and there were figs and I'm like, I haven't had a fig in years. And so my husband and we bought two figs and with the meters, right? We waited until we could start. We tested before. We ate the fig and we watched. And one fig, nothing. So we got two more figs.
Wow.
And when I ate the second fig, or no, we had a date. He had also bought two dates. So when I was fine with just the fig, I added the date and it went too high. It went to 134. So I said, okay, that's too much sweet, but one fig, I can have one fig. Or if somebody makes a dessert that has a little fig in it, I can have it. Yay. Right? And that was alone. Now imagine if I'd eaten it with a couple of romaine leaves, it probably wouldn't have done even that. So it's all a matter of learning.
Well, and part of that
works. What's that?
Part of that too is your frame of mind, right?
Yeah.
You were relaxed. You were there with the intent of having a good time in experiencing things. You weren't eating on the go. You weren't rushing. And how many of us are aware of the attitude we have as we eat? You know, Italy and other places like that are known for, and I grew up this way, where we had a dinner hour, like, our dinner time took us at least an hour because we sat and we talked and we ate during that period of time. And life, we've allowed our lives to not be like that.
Yeah.
So I think if we just slow down a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And stop being afraid. So when you eat a oh my God, what if it raises my blood sugar? So what if it raises your blood sugar? Then you know not to eat it again. That's it, right? One time is not going to cause you to go blind. It's accumulation over years. So you catch it, you nip it in the bud. Okay?
You know, one thing with fear, we seem to want to run away or hide from fear. The word fear has a basis in the word fair, F-A-R-E. So think of the word thoroughfare. The fear is something to be looked at and gone through, like a thoroughfare. And if we use it as the tool, the teaching tool that it's given to us for, it can help us instead of stopping us.
Yep. Yep. Fear is one of the worst things. So let's just relax. Okay, right now, what I want everybody to do is take a long, slow, deep breath. Hold it on the inhale and then let it go fully. Focus your attention on the area around your heart. Just like you'd focus on a pinky or a toe. Focus on your heart and breathe as if you're breathing right into your heart. Let your shoulders drop, your neck relax, and just feel your body just sigh into that. And then go ahead and recall a situation, people, place, where you can go and you can feel relaxed, soothed, joyful, and appreciative. And just allow yourself to go there, be there, feel it. Feel that deep sense of love and appreciation. I know when I get there because I get a full body tingle. It just makes me tingle. Don't rush through this. Sometimes we try to rush it and just get back to being mad. Don't rush. When you're ready, just come back in the room with the intention of bringing that feeling back, bringing that parasympathetic activation, the vagus nerve, your calm, rest, digest nervous system. Be sure to go there before each meal. Before to go there a couple of times during the meal even, just a long, deep, intentional breath. And if you see your number rising higher than you expected it to, that's a good time to do it too. Breathe, relax, and allow your body to heal. Your inner healer is the subconscious part. And it knows how to be well. You have to get out of its way. And we get in its way by eating foods that are not serving us, by getting angry at ourselves or others, by just negative feelings. I've been listening on, I like to listen. One thing I missed most about being away was going for my runs. There was no like real place to run. There's these crowded narrow streets with cobblestone and lots of people. So I didn't run. I walked a lot. But I love running. I love running with my headset on, and I love listening to really great, inspiring things. And so I was listening today on my first run back in the States. I was listening to The Blue Zones. That's a book, if you're not familiar with, where they researchers went out to study the longest-lived populations and try to figure out what they all had in common. And there were some foods, but not a tremendous number of foods. But the biggest thing was their ability to just, don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Relax. Be with people that you enjoy. And just really take the time to just be. Yeah, there were some foods, you know, a plant-based diet, mostly plants, small amounts of meat, if any. Whole foods, because these indigenous populations don't have access to the supermarkets with all the garbage processed food. So take time every day to do this. Take time a couple of times a week to do it for a little bit longer. It's a big part of this process. It's not just about the food. So thank you, Lynn. I'm going to take Beatrice's hand, and then I'm going to go to the questions that have been typed in. But if anybody wants to share like a success that you've had, motivate others, post it in the chat. So Beatrice.
Dr. Rita Marie, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
And aside from everything, thank you for putting up all those wonderful pictures about the food, because I'm also going to be traveling at the end of the month, and now I have no excuse not to follow the program. You know, somehow you're always on time with that. Doctor, what I was going to say, basically you and Lynn have already said it, but I want to add something to what we're all going through right now. I've gone through several Sweet Spot Solution Before Begun programs. Every single one is different.
Mm-hmm.
Not different because of what you are presenting, but it's different because of what's going on in our lives. It's different about what goes on every day. And that makes a difference on how we can follow or not follow or decide not to follow whatever we have decided to do beforehand. And that, our attitude actually, is the only thing under our control. I've had two experiences in my life that changed me internally so much that it really changed the way I live my life. The first one was when I went to the University of Massachusetts for the teacher, development intensive in mindfulness meditation. It was mind-boggling. The second one was the very first Before Begone program I had with you. Because in both, I learned the same thing, that the way how we live our lives basically depends on our attitude. So it's how we feel about who we are doing. And sometimes, yes, it is scary because our blood sugar goes up or because we're in a situation where we don't have the food that we're supposed to be eating and it's late and we're tired. And sometimes we wake up and we just say, gee, I wouldn't have to eat like this or whatever the excuse we have. But it is all inside of ourselves to follow what we really want to do and to change how we're going to do it and to be gentle with ourselves. Because more than anything, we do have to be gentle with ourselves.
Absolutely.
We tend to be, as human beings tend to be, very demanding. We tend to say, I can do this easy. It's not so easy sometimes, no matter what our intent is. And so we just have to take a deep breath and say, well, the next moment, and it is literally the next moment, things might be different. And that's all there is to it.
Thank you.
And that's all there is to it. I remember when Weight Watchers started, way back when snakes walked on 2 feet, we used to call it the 8 glasses of water a day diet. And ever since then, I've always thought about drinking 8 glasses of water a day. Once you learn something, you cannot unlearn it. I have always been on the Before Be Gone program, ever since I took it. Because what we learn is so important for our lives, those of us who are pre-diabetic or who have those tendencies in our genes. It is so important that it just doesn't go away. It's always with us.
Yeah. And this is not a diet. It's a lifestyle.
No, it's a lifestyle. It is a way of thinking. It's a way of looking at everything. It's a way of looking at food. Sometimes my husband says, here, would you like some Coke? No. But you used to like Coke? Yeah. But not right now, thank you. And no matter who it is around us, they sometimes don't get it. And it's up to for us to say, no, no explanations needed, just no thank you.
Just no thank you.
Just no thank you. And yeah, because the more you explain, the more they push.
Yeah.
Until it gets to be a competition to see who, I don't know, what it, just say, no thank you.
No thank you. Thank you.
And repeat it again if necessary. And repeat it again if necessary, because our instinct, our mind, our body knows what is good for us or not. And it's up to us to follow it.
Right. And when we try to take the easy path, and the easy path is to just do what everybody else is doing or to not have to deal with confrontation and say, okay, I'll have it. That's the easy path.
That's
and
right.
Success doesn't come from taking the easy path.
No. It's sort of like as if life is saying, you want this, then prove it.
Yeah.
And we don't have to prove it to anyone except to ourselves.
That's right. We don't have to.
This is about us, the individual who is following the Sweet Spot Solution program. It is up to us who get on Facebook and who get on calls. And everything. This time for me, it's been very difficult. I miss a lot of the calls because I give meditation classes on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Most of them are on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Sometimes the classes are canceled and I can make it. So that makes it really nice for me. Or sometimes I'm between classes. I didn't have that problem, though, that situation, because it's not a problem, it's a situation. I didn't have that situation before.
Yeah. And
but
now
it doesn't matter because
I'm full of energy and out there helping other people, which I love. I think it's awesome.
That's and right. I'm talking about green smoothies. You have no idea how many people drink green smoothies.
How many people drink them now because of you mentioning. For those of you who don't know, is it okay if I share your age with people?
My birthday is in 2 weeks, Dr. Rita Marie. Go for it.
Okay, her birthday is in 2 weeks, and I think she's going to be 71.
No, it's 73, Dr. Rita Marie.
73? Holy cow.
I'm going 73 years old. Yes.
73, holy cow. And see, it's never too late. And she's
never
meditation classes 3 days a week, right, in her 70s. So
teach meditation classes morning, afternoon, and evening.
Wow.
For beginners and advanced, and for the professors at the hospital at the University of Florida. Mm-hmm. And we just don't stop. Today I had a wonderful experience. Because I am going to go on a trip at the end of the month, I took some clothes that had to be altered. And the seamstress says, no. She said, you can't go down two sizes in clothes. She said, you just have to buy something new. And I said, but this is something new that I bought. I've just lost the weight since it arrived in my house. And she said, buy yourself a new one. You know, you cannot bring something down two sizes. In a jacket, it will just not look properly. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
And I came home and I said, well, isn't life special? I really like that.
That's awesome. And, you know, it probably ended up costing you more to get it altered than you could find. I mean, maybe not the same quality, but you can find something.
Right.
You can go to a secondhand store and try to get something. And you can sell yours at a secondhand store. If you have good quality clothing that you no longer fit, don't keep it around. People say,
no.
Oh, keep it around in case
oh,
I
no.
Keep it. No.
And I'm going to be traveling New York so I can buy some clothes in New York.
There you go.
So all
right.
That's all there is to it.
I know we've taken a long time. Thank you so much, Beatrice.
Thank you, Dr. Rita Marie, and welcome back.
Thank you. All right. So I'm going to go to the questions. Lynn, if there's anything that has been added to the chat that's like a comment or something that would enhance what we've just talked about, please let me know and just read it. Otherwise, I'll just start with the before the call questions. And Susan from Mahwah, which is a town away from where I used to live in New Jersey, says, I'm a huge fan of what you do. I'm not a techie. I'm not able to figure out how to admit I'm not a techie and struggle with ADD, which complicates things. I'm not giving up. I want to master and live the lifestyle. Not sure how to get started with the finger testing. So here's what we'll do. Lynn, if you could reach out to Susan and maybe point her in the right direction, because I don't want to go backwards and start teaching all about how to do the finger pricking. What I would say is the best thing to do is go to the glucose testing page, which is in the foundations module, and watch the videos and read some of the things, and you'll be able to figure it out. But I'll have Lynn reach out to you and see if she can support you with that. Diane, my question is regarding the SIBO food plan. Why do I hear somebody speaking? I must have closed Lynn's line. There we go. Unless Lynn has something to say. But SIBO food plan, is it true that I should be off probiotics and all fermented foods? That's a complicated question, Diane. We put in there a SIBO food plan for those of you who have SIBO. It's not for everybody. It's just for those of you who know you have SIBO or you're getting a lot of bloating and suspect you get SIBO. You don't have to be off all probiotics. You can, generally speaking, again, I can't speak for you, but generally speaking, those with SIBO can do bifidus, because the bifidus won't grow in the small intestine. It only grows in the large intestine. And there are a couple of other species. They're called D-lactic acid-free probiotics. And if you can find one, I know Custom Probiotics has that. Off all fermented foods, I would say get off all fermented foods for a few days to a week, see how you feel. Take the bifidus, though, so you keep your good flora going, and then experiment with small amounts and see how you do. Another question, now that my blood sugar is as low as 75, how much may it increase eating, drinking, a meal? This question when I'm off the reset, which will not be until the SIBO trial. Yeah, so I would say, you still want to keep within that same guidelines. You know, ideally, you keep it to 100, but 110 would be fine. Cindy from Toronto, thank you and the coaches for your support. Part one, since certain foods such as beef can raise insulin levels without necessarily raising blood sugar, is it preferable to avoid protein powders containing beef to reach the metabolic reset? Probably. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that before. I don't think we really know what the reason is for it. So I don't know. I've not seen anything written about it, but it's probably better if you don't. These designs for health, paleo, vanilla, maple, and grass-fed beef. I would like to know if I should consider alternatives. Nice to have something to rotate it with since I've been taking it for over a year. Avoiding anything made with nuts, seeds, peas, among other iodine foods because they showed up on my IgG test. Mentioned Sacha Inchi. Yes. I would say Sacha Inchi would be a good one because it's rare that people are allergic to it because it's so rare for people in at least in the States. If you live in South America, you might have eaten the seeds. And I had organic acid test at HDA. I had protein in my diet based on very low picolinate level, and then I had an amino acid deficiency based on low isocitrate levels. Yeah, so you can certainly add that too and give it a try. Part two, once IgG antibodies create, how long should one wait before trying to reintroduce those back in the diet? How would I know if they're causing a problem? So it depends on the level. This is beyond the scope of this particular class. We go into more of this in our detox programs and our gut healing program, but I'll just give you a real quick answer to this one. When you take foods out, if you're having an allergy reaction, which is what she's referring to as an IgG reaction, you want to have it out for at least, I would say, depending on what the test shows, a month to 6 months. So these tests show that you're mild, moderate, or severe. If you're severe, 6 months. If you're moderate, you know, somewhere in the 3 month range. And if you're mild, you could probably get rid of them for a month and then rotate them back in. How would you know? When you eliminate the foods that you have sensitivities to, you feel better. When you add them back, you feel worse again. It could be brain fog. It could be headaches. It could be skin rashes. It could be gut stuff. It could be any number of things. So you're just really monitoring. We have talk about it a little bit in the elimination diet. Allison from India. If I'm waking in the morning, levels are 70. Do you recommend doing a burst? Sure. It's not going to hurt you. It's going to increase the sensitivity. Now, if you tend to get super, super low and you feel lightheaded and dizzy, then, you know, you probably want to wait and do your burst later. But, yeah, you can still do it. It's optional. Allison in India, can you suggest a way to prepare mushrooms without using oil? I usually saute them in ghee, butter, or olive oil. But I'm avoiding cooking with fat during the reset. I've tried frying them in water with seasoning, but they're not very tasty. I marinate them. So I'll put them in a bowl, and I will put some salt, seasonings, garlic powder, whatever, massage that in, and then you can put it in a pan and heat it, do them that way. Marsha, yay for 30 days of learning so much. I'm meeting with my functional medicine, can't find the list of recommended tests. Organic acid and stool test. I think we got this handled, Marsha, during our little chat on Facebook earlier. And I gave you that list again, so go back to that. I think you probably put this in beforehand. 5 hours before, yeah, probably. Allison, sorry I can't be on the call. It's starting at 3:30 a.m. here. I wanted to ask about something you said on a recent call, which I didn't catch the name of on the replay. It's a connection with histamine intolerance. You said you'd been able to get rid of hives in a few hours using vitamin C. No, 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 not hydrocort. It was, why am I drawing a blank? It was castor oil, vitamin C and castor oil and quercetin. And also something about a paste with flax oil and lavender. Yeah, so basically it was flax oil. You can put lavender in there. I put curcumin in there. And there's any number of anti-inflammatories that can bring that process down. But the castor oil was what I had mixed it. Vitamin C, castor oil, and flax oil. About leg cramps, potassium and extra magnesium is suggested. Is there a way to figure out what causes it and therefore what to take? Could it be low iron? Rarely would be low iron. I rarely got cramp until after menopause. What form of potassium? So, yeah, you can run expensive tests. The SpectraCell test will give you an idea of what nutrients you're out of balance on. Or you could just make sure you take both at least for a while. You could try one and see if that works and the leg cramps go away. For me, it's always magnesium. And I just take magnesium and the leg cramps go away. iron definitely, I've not ever seen it associated with leg cramps. And what kind of, usually get liquid ionic potassium in a bottle. Good State has it. It's one of my favorites. Do you have any advice on how to improve? This is still Allison, LDL to HDL. Yeah, we're not going to get into this here. We'll talk about this on the next call in terms of what's next, but this is beyond the scope of this. Basically, exercise and fatty acids are the two things that are most important, but there are other things to look into. Beyond the program, my fasting in between blood sugars comes down 10 to 15 voids, but after the food, levels are still relatively high. Why is that? Well, we talked a lot about this. Listen to the beginning of the call. A lot of other things, looking at your stress levels, looking at inflammation in your body. And it depends on which foods. I mean, I would say if there's a set of foods that don't raise it, those are the foods you want to focus on. Rhonda, thank you for this lovely program. You're very welcome. Has made significant shifts for me, and yet I feel I'm barely into all that's there. I'm aware of my urine pH being 5.5 to 6 and never altering. My stool results say that I have blastocystis, even though I've done a number of herbal treatments. Do you have suggestions? Wondering if this is causing my urine to be so acidic. It's obviously not ideal. Yeah, an inflammation, a parasite can definitely do that. And I would say come to the next call or, you know, listen in. I'll repost this because we're going to talk about what's next. It looks like, you know, I don't know what you've done. I'm not into this for that approaches. So you have blastocystis, therefore you take this. And that's not the way it works. So, yeah, there's some antimicrobial herbs that you could take. Obviously, that didn't work. It's really shifting the terrain. So you have to look at your regular microbiome. You have to look at the levels of your good bacteria in there. You've got to look to see if there's also some sort of yeast overgrowth in there. You have to look at the integrity of the gut, enzyme production, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot to look at. We do that. We look at that in our digestion program. Andrea, my blood sugar is not quite stabilized. How long can I stay on this rather restrictive diet? You can stay on this rather restrictive diet forever if you wanted to. So I would just say, you know, you can play with adding a few things back in if you want to. And see if you can get away with it, but it's going to take some time to fully stabilize. Debbie from, Plano. My blood sugar drops up to 30 points around 2 to 4 a.m. and I start feeling fatigued and brain, well, p.m. and I start feeling fatigued and brain fog. Would you suggest taking chromium or another supplement? I wouldn't take chromium, no, at that point, because your blood sugar is dropping, which means it's getting stored, what causes a large drop. That could be normal. It depends. But if you're feeling lightheaded and brain fogged, you didn't say what the level was. So that makes a difference. If you're diabetic and you're dropping 30 points, it generally doesn't make much difference. But as you start to get lower, you know, as a diabetic, 150 might feel too low. So I need a little bit more information to answer that question. Few more questions. Margaret, hello, congratulations everyone. I had my blood work done on Friday, April 25th, which was day 26. I wanted to share my numbers. First number is April 2017, second is April 2018. Cholesterol went from 193 to 162, excellent. Triglycerides went from 247 to 118, great. LDLs went 39 to 43, awesome. HDL 105 to 95 and hemoglobin A1C 5.6 to 5.1. Wahoo! You are amazing. You still have a little, you know, I'd love to see that HDL get higher, like, you know, closer to 60 would be great. The LDLs look great though. So, you know, looking at your fatty acid, look at the advanced part of the nutrition and look at the omega-3-6 ratios. Very important there. Wonder if I should be concerned about my TSH, it was 1.15 in 2017 and 1.05 in, no, they're very close. I wouldn't worry about that. Reviewing the video that describes normal blood sugar, it said that 1 or 2 hours after the meal, most people go to 120, our aim is 110. No, it said that at 45 minutes to an hour after the meal, 110 is our goal. And in diabetics, they're saying, oh, yeah, as long as you're 120 to 140 at 2 hours, it's okay. And I don't believe that's true. testing foods. Is the food okay for us if we go to 110 after 2 hours? No, no, no. The peak should be 110. Peak should be 110. 110 at 2 hours is a problem. Yeah. Gail, I want to see what my allergies are to other foods. Do I just do this program or do I sign up for the allergy series you have? And if so, when? Let's talk about the next steps. I'm going to give you guys a quiz to take, and I'll give it to you in advance of the next call so that you can get a sense of where some of your other imbalances lie. Wendy, as I continue, follow the program and achieving another reset, either by this program's method or a water fast, how will I know, best understand, interpret the blood sugar results? I only have data from 2 weeks, and that was not all the time eating green. I would say we describe it in on the glucose page. There's a video that describes what the results mean, like how it, what it should look like. I highly recommend you do that and look at that. Is it true that any and all blood sugar insulin spikes more than 20 points necessarily means illness is imminent? Not necessarily, no. So if your blood sugar, if you've been just fasting, say, and your blood sugar is 60, and you eat a meal, and your blood sugar goes to 90, I wouldn't say that's a problem, okay? Wouldn't say that's a problem. But if your blood sugar starts at 85, and it goes to 115, that's not as good, right? If your blood sugar starts at 95 and it goes up 30 points to 125, that's not good. That's causing peripheral nerve damage, okay? Catherine, how long do we get access to the program? At least a year. And you can download everything. Every single thing in the program is downloadable. So if you do that, then you have it forever. We used to say lifetime, but we can't guarantee lifetime because we don't know, you know, if we retire the program down the road or something like that or whatever. Alexis said, Dr. Marie said to avoid combining fat and fruit. Does that apply to smoothies made from greens, chia, flax, or fruits such as berries? I would say that generally speaking, as long as it's not a lot of fat and you're soaking the chia and the flax, so you're actually breaking down those fats into the free-form fatty acids that are easy to absorb, may not be a problem, but just watch it. Just watch it. Mm-hmm. Laura, I recently had a small relapse of EBV, Epstein-Barr, with swollen gut and being wiped out. I think I got it back after traveling. Eating mostly greens and some other vegetables. Today I tried salad with baba ganoush, eggplant, and 3 gluten-free falafel. I realized I probably shouldn't have had the falafel. Nope. I finally felt full, though. I just measured blood sugar 2 hours later. It's the highest at 149. Concern? You said now I'm concerned. Don't be concerned. Just be curious. No, just be like, hey, I got some information. I can't handle gluten-free falafel, right? It's too starchy. But blood sugar went to 153. What's the best way? Yeah, what's the best way to keep it down towards the 110? Follow the foods in the green column. Stay away from the starches and the grains. There's flour in the gluten-free falafel, even though it's not gluten flour. I have SIBO. Can this cause my blood sugar to rise? No, necessarily no. Blood type O, does this mean I really need to eat more animal protein or just keep it 2 to 3 ounces a day? I would not recommend eating more than 2 to 3 ounces a day. Rosita, would like to know why the vitamins have a strong odor after several hours. I'm not sure what you mean by after several hours. You mean like if you open it up and take them out, they smell after several hours? Does it mean your pee has a strong odor? It's magnesium, bone restore, superior calcium, B complex, and high potency multi with minerals from Life Extension. I didn't use Life Extension. I don't, you know, there's a few things there that I like. I don't like the excipients, so I don't use them. So I don't know what they put in them, and I'm not really sure I understand your question. Does our blood sugar supposed to go down to almost fasting after 2 hours? It should. Yeah, ideally it should. Carol, I know you said to soak and dehydrate nuts, but I haven't had the time to dehydrate them. And when I soak them, I don't eat them. If I don't eat them all, they get moldy and I have to throw them out. So then I can just go back to eating them raw. So what I would do then is just soak small amounts. Just soak enough to eat that day. Make sure that after you soak them and you rinse them, you put them in the refrigerator and you put them in a glass container in the refrigerator. They should last 3 or 4 days. If you're going to want them longer than that, you will have to either dehydrate them or soak less of them. eat them raw and they don't bother you. Most of the time, I will admit, I don't soak them because I don't remember to. And I eat them raw and it doesn't bother me unless I eat too many. So you just find out how it feels for your digestion. If you feel like you can't digest them yet, then don't do it. Elaine from Arizona, I had some mornings that I woke up really jittery and it lasted into the afternoon and bouncing into walls and things. Whoa. This wasn't happening before. My blood sugar had come down to a one-time low of 135 to the low 200s, and now it's gone back higher, hundreds to mid 200s. I was worried about being jittery. Yeah, so the jittery is your blood sugar is going down and you're still insulin resistant. And so your body is feeling like it's producing adrenaline to try to deal with that. So what I would suggest is that, I don't know if you're on the supplements, but the supplements are going to help to get that sugar into the cells. It's a transport system for getting the insulin glucose into the cells. So make sure you're doing those. I would look at berberine and I would look at some of the other nutrients to try to support you, because clearly you're in the diabetic range. And so your body is not used to having that low. So if it's gone back up because you've eaten more carbohydrates as a result of not liking the jittery, then I would say that's, you know, it's a short-term solution to the problem. You can gradually cut down the carbs as opposed to going cold turkey and see how that goes. Vera hasn't watched the transition video yet. Please touch on sugar peak and drop and what range it should stay in. So I'll repeat this. We've talked about this a whole lot. When your blood sugar is in the normal healthy range, like under 90, right? Keeping it below 110 is a good thing. So what would that be? That would be actually 25 points, right? If it's 80 and it goes to 110, that's 30 points. If you have higher sugar, you can't use the 110. I mean, the 110 is a thing to shoot for. If your blood sugar raises 40 points, but it stays below 110, yeah, that food might be a semi-problematic food, but you're not getting into a dangerous range. So we're using one or the other. If your blood sugar is starting out above 90, right, above 100, you're not going to keep it to 110. It's going to be really hard. Up 90 you could, but if it's 99, to have a meal that just rises your blood sugar 11 points, that's kind of hard to do. So in that case, I would say shoot for the things that don't rise it more than 20 to 25 points. Occasionally 30, no worries, but 20 to 25 points. So it's one or the other. If you have normal blood sugar to start, your fasting sugar is normal, 110. Shoot for 110, okay? Rosita, my urine has a strong odor after taking them. So I would be looking at the ingredients. I don't know the ingredients of these. There might be something in there that's causing that. Sometimes there's asparagus, like as one of the ingredients in some of the herbal supplements, and asparagus can cause a strong odor in your urine. So there's something in there that's causing your body to either not metabolize it or that's just passing through and is coming out the way it went in. So if it's a different odor, then if they don't smell going in, they smell coming out. It's a metabolic thing. And it's impossible for me to say without knowing the ingredients. And I would call the company and ask them what they think. Okay? So I'm going to go back. I think I've got all of the... Okay, so I'm going to go back to see who's got questions. So star 2 raises your hand. Nobody's hands are up. Star 2 raises your hand, guys. Let's talk. Otherwise, we will call it a quits early. Okay, I see a bunch of chat stuff. Oh boy, it's just repeating. Meals ready to eat. So while that's happening, what's that? Lynn Rose, the unstoppable bars, or the SSMRE? I don't know what that means. Huh. And it's going so fast I can't read it, so I'm just going to wait until it stops. Glenn Rose, gluten-free oatmeal with raisins, put my sugar at 240. Well then, Glenn Rose, you're not going to eat that anymore, right? So if I ate a bowl of pineapple without any greens with it, it would likely raise my sugar up to 150. So guess what my response is to that? I'm not going to do it. Yeah, maybe I could take more chromium and maybe I could exercise more. Probably it's I need to sleep more, but this is the way it goes. Ah, I'm getting so many things. So I'm going to see if anybody else has a question. Yeah, we do. We have 612, anonymous at 612. Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can. Who is it?
It's Rhonda here in Australia.
Oh, hi, Rhonda.
Hi. Hi. How are you going?
Good. Are you in summer now?
Pardon?
You're in summer now, right?
No, autumn, 9:30 in the morning, lovely sunny day, but yeah, starting to get cooler.
Starting to get cooler. Yeah, you're the opposite of us. That's right.
gosh, now I'm trying to think what my question was. Yes, I'm starting to think that the 2 minutes of burst exercise in the morning, so I get on the trampoline, my little mini trampoline, and I put Elvis on with the Jailhouse Rock, and I pretty much jump to that. It has a few kind of slower bits and then up a bit. But yesterday I didn't really have anything to eat or drink, and I did it and did my 2 minutes, and then like half an hour later, my blood sugar was well above the 110. It had gone up more than the 20 to 30, and all that had happened was I'd done the exercise. And I had started to think that it had made my blood sugar go up another day. So it's not like I'm constantly, doing it every day to know for sure, but does that sound like it could be happening, the exercise itself?
So whenever... Exercise and your blood sugar goes up, it means that you put your body in a stress state. Now, that would normally happen to somebody if they're doing some, crazy Olympic sprint, because it's such intensity that the body goes, woo, emergency, got to deal with this, right? So in this case, I would just bring the intensity down a little bit.
Right, yeah, because, I mean, at the end, I kind of sat down and thought, wow, that's, whew. And I managed to do it. I mean, I love, it's not difficult to go out bushwalking and do other things. But, yes, I could, I think I would just kind of be more aware and take a little bit more kind of blood sugars here and there to see happening with the side.
You might try, instead of doing the full 2 minutes, see how it goes, do 30 seconds, see how your blood sugar is. Good, 30 seconds more. Try, and then every day increase it a little bit. It just may be too much too quickly for you, and your body's going into, emergency mode. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing that happened because of my picture with the with your brain-boosting truffles, I decided once my blood sugar had gone back down to a normal level yesterday and I hadn't eaten anything, I thought, I'm actually going to see what these brain boosting chocolate truffles with the little bit of what did I put in them, the cherries. And so I thought, right, okay, I will eat six of them. I have had nothing else, only my lemon water. And we had used your recipe, but I had put none of the sweeteners in at all, apart from what I did have here was some lacuna powder. So we put 2 teaspoons of that in, but left out the chocolate stevia and all the other sweeteners, and put 1/4 cup of pecans, 1/4 cup of coconut pieces, and 1/4 cup of the cherries. And what was amazing is it didn't raise my blood sugar, not one iota. And in fact, 2 hours later, it was just starting to go down a little bit. And I was just like amazed, because through this program, I've only managed to put in some blueberries and some raspberries, and I have to be a bit careful of how much I put into the chia porridge. But I found that quite, interesting. And I wasn't game to put it on that last night when I got home. I wasn't going to put it on the Facebook because I thought, oh, I'd rather talk it over with you in case I get 20 responses.
Well, I would say that that's a good thing, right? And then you did it in moderation. Probably the amount of dried cherry you had wasn't enough to shoot it up. So awesome. I would still be careful and not do too much of it. Because you know, dried food's pretty concentrated, but congratulations. That's really cool.
Well, I thought, you know, cause those other ingredients, obviously seem to work because, but anyway, look, that was great, and I will do my best not to have too many chocolate truffles, but it was fun doing it. Just an experiment.
Yep. And again, I would say because of the heavy fat in there, fat, sugar is not a great combination. So
what was that?
Again, don't put the dried cherries in. You can put like a cherry medicine flower, cherry flavoring in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, to give that flavor. And I've done that, and they're yummy.
Great. Okay. Thanks for taking this call.
Sure. Thank you for calling in.
Okay, bye.
Bye. All right. Lynn has her hand up, and then Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. I also had wanted to say thank you to the coaches that helped out on the last call that we had for the sweet spot, and I really appreciate them, and you can see the level of teaching you give them because they just impress the heck out of me with everything that they know and everything. So I just wanted to give that little shout out to our wonderful coaches.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you for all of you, you and the coaches. So Susan, who's on there? Susan, Isabel.
Susan, Isabel, Lisa, Annette, we're all on there.
Great. Awesome. You guys are amazing.
Yep.
I've been amazed with what they're doing in general. So, yeah, and thank you for doing that while I was gone and providing great support. I know Sandy posted in the Facebook group that it was awesome. We should do this once a month. So that would be fun, actually, to have a second open office hours that was Ask the Coaches.
There you go. And just so you know, I'm putting more questions on the document.
Okay, great. Wonderful. Thank you.
Right. Yep.
And Brooklyn. Hello, Brooklyn.
Hello, it's Michelle. It's really Queens. For some reason, it comes up as Brooklyn. That happened the last time that I called.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Queens, that's right. We talked about this, and you're not too far from where I used to live. Like, what? Not Bayside, but Forest Park?
Forest Hills.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm about a week behind everyone else. I started about a week later because of Passover. I lost about 15 pounds as of 2 weeks ago, so that was amazing. I'm kind of stabilized. I haven't lost any more. My sugar, I have not taken in a while, and I'll explain why, because I can't. I know my meter is in the house. I can't find anything. The brain fog and energy has not improved to my satisfaction. In fact, I have to make a confession that on almost all of the calls that I've been on, even with the phone in my ear, I have fallen asleep. Not because I'm bored, but that's it. My energy just tanks. So
yeah.
I was hoping to see, improved energy and more of an improvement in the brain fog, which fluctuates.
Okay.
So
maybe tell me a little bit more about what are you eating? I mean, not what are you eating, but what are you, I'll get back to that, but what supplements are you currently taking?
I'm not consistent. I always take Replesta because I'm low in vitamin D. So I take that once a week. I take a cortisol a couple of times a week, the cortisol calm.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, ashwagandha and rhodiola
mm-hmm.
because of my job. Really, really stressful. Sometimes I take a zinc and a selenium. I just ran out. I take a B vitamin. It's not consistent.
Okay.
I don't have much of it left.
But supplements, chromium, magnesium, DHA especially.
I take the DHA, DHA and DHEA, well, what I remember as well. Not consistent, but sometimes.
Okay. So these are things, these are nutrients that can help support your brain. So I would say your body is probably needing some additional B vitamins, my guess is. Here's what, you got to figure out a way to be consistent, right? So her, I'm very inconsistent. So I have multiple bottles of things, and I keep one set on my desk and one set on my kitchen counter. And I remember to take them when I do that. When I have them hidden in a closet or in the refrigerator, it doesn't work. So where is a place that you can put your nutrients?
Well, I have them stacked up on the stove. Some of them I can't find. The place is shambles just because of the long history of the brain fog, and just stuff is piled all over. It's like a haystack, the junkyard. So most of the supplements are stacked on top of the stove. I don't have so many left, so it's intermittent. I don't know where my magnesium is. I don't know where one of the other one is. And to have the energy to finish through on my house organization, apartment organization, hasn't been as successful as I would like. And I still fall asleep earlier than I would like to.
Yeah.
I'm eating in the green. I haven't cheated. And all that time in the 2 weeks, though, my morning sugar was always 104. I mean, it started at, I think, 127 in the very beginning. It's at 104. I never was able to get into the normal range, and I have not cheated. I do eat, the only thing I could say that I eat too much of is I'm eating either canned salmon or tuna fish every day, and I'm eating the whole can. But I never eat, I don't even use stevia because I don't want to stimulate the sugar response as long as I'm not craving.
Right. Okay, even so it sounds the food is going well, but there's all the components to it. And so you need, there's some nutrients that your body's lacking and may not be getting from the food. It may be a long-standing lack. You know, I can't figure out exactly what they are, but the ones that really strike me for brain stuff is the DHA. And I would see if you can get that up. Maybe the dosage would be higher to help to support your brain function and to help bring that back. If you're on the cortisol manager, is that because you had an adrenal test or just because you suspected your adrenals?
No, that was actually given to me by my nutritionist after muscle testing.
Okay. Right. So it's possible that, you know, doing a little bit of other testing, phosphatidylserine might help. Long-standing stress breaks down the hippocampus. Cortisol, high levels of cortisol will break down the hippocampus, which is responsible for taking ideas, memories, and putting them into long-term memory from short-term memory. So there's some nutrients that can support that. So, but if you're not going to take them, so we have to figure you a way to get it. You don't have to clean up your whole apartment in order to take your supplements. You need to be able to just get yourself, if you don't have it, just go to the store and buy more magnesium if you can't find your magnesium. These are critical blood sugar balancing. So you've done a great job, lost 15 pounds, but there's still more to go because your fasting glucose is 104. I think that if you get on the chromium, the magnesium, the DHA as a starting point, maybe some berberine, you're going to get some additional responses. The sugar is going to come down even more. Right?
Okay.
So it's not just the food. Are you doing heart math?
Very rarely, no.
Okay.
Just really focused on the food.
Yeah, you need to start doing that, especially given stress and confusion and brain fog. That's critical, critical, critical. Like the cortisol can be eating away at your brain. So I would get on the heart math, just do it the 5 times a day minimally. Get at least those 3 supplements out. And if you have B vitamins, the B vitamins as well. All the other stuff you mentioned is good stuff. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah. You see, I'd love to say just pick one of the components of this program and do it and everything will work. I wish we could just say, oh, somebody wants to just do the supplements. They'll do that. Somebody just wants to do the food. Somebody just wants to sleep. But it's a package, right? And all those things out of balance are what create the issue. You've come a long way. Congratulations. Dropping 15 pounds is phenomenal, right? You can take it. Do you have more to lose?
I have a lot more to lose.
All right. Then we want to break through the plateau. Get on the supplements. Do the stress. Are you doing bursts?
No.
Okay.
There's no room to burst anything. I took a walk today. I walked home maybe 20 minutes from the, you know, to the subway, but no burst. I can't even walk in here. There's no room to do anything here.
You have to do it at home. Walking every day for 20 minutes is beautiful. All right. If you have a set of stairs that lead up to your apartment or your house, then I would run up and down those. It's nice weather this time of year. It's maybe not perfect out there, but when you can get some weather out there, go outside, do your bursts outside.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Right. I see Marcia just popped in. How did you get to the top of the queue, Marcia and Sandy? Anybody else have questions? Raise your hand, star two. And I'm going to go back. There is Mona. Hi, Mona.
Hey, how are you today?
Wonderful. Thank you. How about you?
Wonderful. Hey, I got a couple of questions. One question is, on the chia seed, would that cause a lot of bloating?
If you have some gut bugs that are out of balance and are feeding on it, it's higher in FODMAPs. And so people who have some out of balance gut bugs can get bloating from chia.
As what I suspected. Okay.
Yep.
All right. And then, so interesting for me, I've been following a pretty regimented, strict diet for a while. I'm like you, I cannot eat fruits of any kind. They just throw my sugar way up there, even if I put it in a green smoothie. So I've just avoided them. But I tried to make myself some fermented sweet potatoes,
yep.
And they threw my sugar way up there.
Bummer.
And I have just not been able to get my sugar back down since. I mean, I was getting down into the low 80s sometimes upon, you know, morning fasting. And now it's just not coming down. I'm probably not exercising enough, but.
Yeah, sometimes when it gets thrown off, it's hard to get back on track. How long ago was that?
2 weeks.
2 weeks, wow. Yeah, so you need to step everything else up a little bit.
Okay, all right. And do you think, the other thought that I had maybe, was, do you think that my body's in distress just because I'm still so thin? You know, do you think that the cortisol is raising my sugar levels?
Well, you certainly have a lot of stress in your life, Mona. I mean, from some of the other calls you've been on and the practitioner calls, I mean, you've got a lot of stress going on. So your cortisol levels are definitely involved.
But I've been doing a whole lot better because I'm doing meditation twice a day, and so I've incorporated a lot of things to help bring that down.
Awesome. So, I would just say do up the other stuff, more heart mass, more bursts to get yourself back to the level that you were at before. Stress on
okay.
you. Okay?
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome. And Wendy. Wendy, who's been posting the beautiful pictures, I want to come down to Costa Rica and hang out with you. I saw your post today. Oops. Whoops, sorry. There you go. Wendy?
Can you hear me?
No.
Hello?
Yeah. Sorry, you had gone back to mute. I don't know if
that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. So I have always not wanted to eat anything fermented, alcohol, anything fermented, and I make myself do it because it's supposed to be so good for you. Does that mean anything to you?
When you say fermented, alcohol and beer are different from, you know, fermented veggies. Is that what you mean too, or yogurt?
I mean, yeah, fermented veggies, sauerkraut, kimchi, kombucha, anything. I'm completely repulsed by it. I don't like it. I don't want to eat it. And I make myself do it now a little bit because it's supposed to be so good for you.
Now, when you make yourself do it, how do you feel?
Not noticeably different. So, like, if I'm going to do sauerkraut, I mix it in a big salad so it's less noticeable. But I have a hard time eating, like, straight sauerkraut.
Is it the taste or do you think it's something else?
It's the taste and it's, like, it's bad. It's rotten and I don't want to eat it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it might be some inner wisdom that you need to listen to. You know what
I'm saying?
I mean, it could just be the taste buds and they just don't like it. But cashew yogurt tastes a lot different than fermented veggies. And a lot of people have an aversion to fermented veggies. Admit that, you know? So, really sit with it and see if you can figure it out. Like, make some cashew yogurt or coconut yogurt and put something on it that you like and see how, if it has that same repulsion. Now, fermented veggies tend to have high levels of histamine, higher levels than you know, the non-fermented forms of them. So your body may be reacting to that and saying, no, I don't want that. As opposed to, you know, I tend to have cravings for them. And my body just wants anything fermented. I love it. I can't stop eating it. And it turns out I have a genetic SNP that makes my body need it because I can't feed my bifidus normally. So I have to keep giving myself more. So it's, yeah. And for me, I trust that. When I found out that genetic thing, I said, oh, no wonder I crave it. Now it could go the opposite, that there's an aversion because there's something in it that doesn't sit right, or it could be the taste. So if you experimented with a lot of different types of it, whether it's, you know, kombucha is pretty raunchy tasting. I mean, it can be. So, you know, I don't know if you've not tried any of the yogurts, try making yourself a yogurt and see if that makes a difference, right?
Okay. And then likewise for bitter things, like any kind of, you know, dandelion greens, arugula, anything like that. And again, too, like I'll mix arugula in my salad and then I taste it and it's like, oh, I want to pick that out. Or if even sometimes I won't eat it because I don't like it. And I'm trying to make food. I can hide it in a smoothie, but like just to take anything bitter, like I don't want to eat it.
Yeah. You probably have the bitter tasting gene. There is a gene that people are most sensitive to bitter tasting and they don't like it. I don't have that gene, so I could sit and eat arugula right out of the bag. So I would just don't push yourself to do too much. Just do it a little bit at a time and find ways to make it taste better, to dissipate the bitter. And, you know, if you look at the five flavors, you're a chef. You know about the five flavors, right? Bitter, salty, sweet, pungent, and sour.
Yep.
If you can take a strong bitter, you can really tone that down with, say, lemon and ginger. Eat sour and pungent. And so play with that and find some way to do it, like, you know, arugula with a lemon ginger dressing.
Right. So I guess my question is more than you would say, do try to incorporate it whatever way you can get it down, as opposed to an instinctual eating theory would be, if you don't feel drawn to it, don't do it.
Yes. So here's the thing. I would say on the sauerkraut side, there could be something to it that you have maybe some SIBO or milder tendency to get it and your body's saying, no, don't give me that. It could be. That's why I suggested try some others. Try doing it with, you know, make a cashew or a coconut yogurt and see if you have an aversion to that. But on the bitter side, it's probably that gene that's making you taste it more. And when one flavor predominates in the food, it doesn't taste as good. So if you can create a combination where the bitter isn't the thing that's hitting you, you're getting this beautiful combination and symphony of flavors. So I would say it's probably not an instinctual on the bitter side. It very well might be on the probiotic side.
Right. Okay. All right. Great. That's very helpful. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. And thanks for all the beautiful food pictures you've posted. They're gorgeous.
You are so welcome. My pleasure.
I'm going to come see you in Costa Rica. You said you're
I would like that very much. I'm about to send you a formal invitation, actually.
Oh, good. You're not going to have to twist my arm too much. I love it down here. Thank you.
I'm I got space. I'm buying more beds. So, yeah, that's my plan, is to have people like you here.
I love it. I love it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
All right. So we are going to have to call it a night. If there are a bunch more questions, I'm going to see, but I have another call in 10 minutes, and I would like to have a little bio break in between. There's a few others. Let me see if I've covered these questions. Sometimes people have the same questions. Andrea, since protein powder is a processed food and I don't want to continue it forever, I agree. Will my body miss the extra amount of protein? No, not if you wean it gradually off and you replace it and you eat whole foods. The reason that the protein powders are a good option now, not as a long-term thing, but it's because your body may not be processing the protein and we need that extra protein. But no, I would wean it down, but add the extra protein-rich foods as you can tolerate them. Hemp seeds are great sources. Spirulina is a great source. Green leafy vegetables, broccoli, and all that. Laura, listening to the medical medium, he promotes a lot of fruit. Should we test before having any fruit until it is below 110 steadily? I would say, yeah. Yeah, he does promote a lot of fruit. And like I said earlier, I think a lot of fruit is great if your body handles it. But if your blood sugar is jumping up, not a good thing to do. So I would wait until it's below 110 fairly consistently, and that's what my guidelines say, and then test the fruit. Wendy, okay, I just answered that. Laura, what brand of pea protein? I'm trying to keep heavy metals low. Thanks so much. You're awesome. By the way, I lived in East Northport. Oh, my God, raised their kids there. What year did you? I didn't actually live in Northport. My family did. My parents moved there in, I was already moved out, so it must have been after 1978, I want to say it was like 1980-ish through 90, my parents died in 92, and then my sister and brother stayed there until maybe 93, 95. Probably 95 is the time that we had our house there. I can't remember the name of the street. I'll remember it and I'll post it. Yeah, so as far as the brands of pea protein, you know, I really need to look into that. There was a bunch of talk about it on the website, on the Facebook group, and I need to look into that. I would say Sun Warrior. If you look at Sun Warrior, they do a lot of testing, and I trust theirs. They have a combination formula that's cranberry, pea, and hemp. So I would look at Sun Warrior. I know I trust those guys. What nuts and seeds raise blood sugar? Generally, not cashews are the most likely to, but usually they don't. If you soak them first, that will lower blood sugar. You're going to have to find out. I'm not sure. Christina said, my coach Pam has been great. And will they be with us longer for more journal submissions that are yet to be done? Yeah, we usually provide that journaling service till you get through all your modules. So, you know, about 3 months. Vera, if fasting morning glucose is in the 100 to 110 range and then goes down after food intake, does it mean the liver isn't working properly? I had this twice or three times through the reset time. There's some issues with that. There may be some stress that's happening overnight that's raising your cortisol levels and causing it to be high in the morning and then to come down to normal. I have seen that. I would just say keep doing the right things. Yvette, no fat with sugar. Does that mean no coconut yogurt with raspberries or apples? I would say possibly when it's fermented, it makes a difference because it's breaking down the fatty acids. But if it works for you, then a little bit, just a little bit. Is it okay to use green powders or should we be using fresh greens? If you can use fresh greens, that's the best. I use the green powders when I'm traveling or in a hurry. Haven't started metabolic reset, having a trial with doing the prior blood testing, can't get any blood flow for the fasting test, so can't get a clear picture. So I would just say jump in and start the metabolic reset. Just test the green. Just eat the green stuff until you can figure it out. Um, Yeah, it's probably a lot of adrenals, she's saying. Many bursts up the hill, feel like I know what I should need to do, but too scattered, dejected, or willful to apply. The only way the program works is to do it. So if you're having some objections, some things are getting in the way, I would sit with that. Really ask yourself what's going on. Why am I trying to keep myself from getting this problem solved, right? So sit with it. I would just say, just make it easy on yourself, Yvette. Just start with the page, that two-page document that says metabolic reset at a glance, and just do that. Don't worry about testing for a bit. Just do that for a while. That'll start to get you more balanced, and then you can start incorporating the testing to see how it's working when you want to transition away. How dangerous is fish oil? You know, there's so many controversies over that. There's some say it's great, some say it's dangerous, and I don't really want to comment until I know more. I prefer algae oil. I have used this one called Raw Revelations. I actually gave it to my son while I was in Europe because he needed it. And I also like the Diva one. The Diva one has good ingredients. Some of them have soybean oil. I'm a little concerned about that, but those are good. Fasting blood sugar range 91 to 107, so still a little high. Had hypoglycemia as a kid. I think I might still have it. What can I do differently to lower my blood sugar? I exercise, eat many greens and other veggies. No sugar other than the strops of stevia, no fruit right now, little animal protein. So I would just keep it up and add some of the supplements. Go in into the nutrition piece. If you're not already doing chromium, magnesium, and DHA, add those. And berberine might be a good thing to do to start to get it lower down. Okay, Wendy, the question on the vitamin B6 deficiency, post it on the Facebook group and we'll get that answered. I don't have time for that right now. I got to go to another call. But peripheral neuropathies and carpal tunnel can be one of them. Just saying nausea in pregnancy can be another. All right, guys, this has been awesome. Thank you. Thank you. We'll be posting and let you know when the next calls are going to be. I don't think they are scheduled yet. There is one next week. That's the open coaching hours. You'll have that. We're also going to send you an invitation if you're not already a member of Vital to join us for Vital as a bonus, where you can get some extra calls going on. There's lots of ways to continue to get support, and we're going to be sharing that over the next couple of weeks, make some extra calls. But start doing the transition if you feel like you're ready. It tells you in there, this is when you can start transitioning. If not, just continue. And remember what Lynn said. You're not restarting it. You're just continuing it. It just takes a little longer for some people. Much love to all of you. Make sure you check out the video I posted on Facebook. If you're not on Facebook, no worries. It's going to be on the site probably tomorrow or the next day. I'm going to open up the line so everybody can.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye